This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Once upon a time.
Emma, we're not here to tell stories.
But...
we're here to talk about the radio show.
But...
oh my gosh, just stop.
Did you know the world is actually round?
Okay, anyway, let's get on with the...
circus.
No, the radio show.
You're listening to a LiveWise program on ROFM 92.7, coming to you this week from Aupaki School. We're also streaming from the ROFM website and available as a podcast from the LiveWise program page.
Wait, what?
You're listening to students with a wide range of topics like haunted houses, ghosts and zombies.
I'm not even going to argue with you. We're going to be talking about interviews, hockey, star clusters, tracking and trapping, police work, FIFA, World Cup, and design tech.
Now we have, I don't know, who is up first?
Up first we have Ella, Isabel and Indy. They are interviewing our school principal, Natalie Jeeves-Edwards. Take it away, Isabel.
Hello, my name is Isabel.
Hi, I'm Ella.
Hey, I'm Indy.
Miss Jeeves-Edwards should be here by now. Today we are going to interview our principal, Miss Jeeves-Edwards from Aupaki School.
Welcome, Ms. Jeeves-Edwards. We believe that there is an upgrade about to happen to the buildings at Aupaki School. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, we have heaps of upgrades in the process at the moment. The whole school, well, nearly the whole school, is about to be re-roofed this year. And we've also just finished some fundraising to get a new cabin put on site for music lessons and small group work.
I heard you're going to change your school logo as well. Why?
It's not just my decision to change the logo, it is a community decision. We want a logo that tells our school story, and while the cursive O has been around since the 80s, it doesn't tell our wider school story, so we're trying to get that incorporated into the image that we use.
How many different choices are there, and who will make the final decision?
So far we have consulted with the community about three draft designs. We've given that feedback back to the company Shout Design, and they are now working on that feedback to refine those. They'll come back to us, we'll go back to the community, and it will be a community, school and Board of Trustees choice.
Are all the students supportive about this idea, or are there some students who want to keep our current logo?
No, not all students are supportive, but that's part of a democratic society. So what we're doing is we're trying to take all of that feedback on board and make sure most of the views are represented in the final design.
The students have been selling raffle tickets at the moment. What is this for?
So that is for the music cabin that I just spoke about before. Now that that is finished, I can share that we raised over $14,000. So thank you very much to everyone who purchased tickets. And we're now in the stage of trying to select a cabin or possibly two cabins that can go on site.
In my opinion, there are more parts of the school we need to upgrade. Do you have any plans to upgrade the other areas such as the pool?
We do. We have lots of plans, but it does come back to money and how much the Ministry of Education can give us or how much we can fundraise. The pool is not actually owned by the school. It's owned by the District Council and we lease it from them. But we do have plans to put some shade in down there and also paint a mural on the fence that's currently covered in graffiti. And around the school, we are going to be painting the courts in October, so they'll be nice and bright and have lots of different sports markings on them.
So this means we're not getting a spa pool?
Not for the students, maybe for the staff.
Ella, where are you?
Sorry, just came back from the toilet. Where were we?
It's your turn to ask a question.
Sorry, okay, is the pool getting upgraded?
She already answered that.
Oh, then can we get more swings at our school? Our class carried out a survey for maths and lots of students said they wanted new swings.
Yep, so a couple of years ago, one of the students in your class actually wrote a letter to the Board of Trustees, and that has resulted in us getting the one swing that we've currently got. We would love more swings, it's just a case of space and money.
Right, that might be us for the day. Our job is done.
Finally, I can get to bed, I'm so tired.
Wow, what an interesting story. It was an interview with the principal.
Oh, I thought I knew her.
Hey, Marley, want to hear my story?
No! No! No!
Today's first song will be The Climb. This song was made to tell everyone who she really is and was. It was made in 2009 for the movie Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana is a clip about her life when she was Hannah Montana.
Almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming. waves inside my head say you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going, and I gotta be strong.
You're listening to a LiveWise program on Arrow FM 92.7, coming to you this week from Aupaki School. We're also streaming from the Arrow FM website and available as a podcast from the LiveWise program page.
Hey, you're copying Emma.
Up next, we have Leo, Henry and Lucas talking about hockey.
Hi, my name's Lucas. Today I'm talking with my friends Henry and Leo about the Aupaki School hockey team and see how they're going. Welcome, Henry and Leo.
Hello.
Hello.
How often do you guys do hockey training?
Every Monday.
Where do you guys have hockey training?
At the Aupaki Hockey and Tennis Courts.
So, with all the training, Henry and Leo, how is your hockey team going this season?
Pretty good. We've won all our games so far. Our team is going really well.
Yeah, hockey has been going really well. The only thing we should work on is passing the ball harder to each other. If you don't pass, your pass isn't hard enough, it normally gets intercepted by the other team.
It sounds like your team is going really well.
Yeah.
Oh, you go, Henry.
Thanks. Okay, where was I? Oops, I forgot. You go, Lucas.
How many goals have you scored so far?
Maybe 6 or 7.
6, 7.
Oh my God, be quiet.
6, 7. Right. Henry, how many goals have you scored?
4, but we've only played 3 games and one of those I was goalie.
Did you do well in goal?
I was all right.
Did you save all the goals?
Most of them.
What about you, Leo? Are you doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I've actually scored 4 or 5, not 6 or 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Any injuries yet, Henry?
I got hit on my pinky finger with a hockey stick. It went purple and swollen. I could barely bend it.
Are you okay now?
Yeah.
Leo, has there been any cards yet?
No, we don't do cards in our grade.
Okay, what grade are you guys in?
We are just doing grading games right now, so we don't know.
What are grading games?
They're games that determine if you're playing hard teams for the season or easy teams for the season.
Okay. Okay, thank you for your time, Henry and Leo.
You're welcome.
All good, guys. Back to you now, Emma, Marley, Charlotte.
Wait, how do you know my name?
Because they're in your class, Marley.
I've literally never seen them before. Anyway, up next is Micah, Hudson and Parker interviewing Chris.
Hello, I'm Micah.
Hi, my name is Hudson.
And my name is Parker.
Today we'll be talking with Chris Engel about his trips to Uganda.
Hello, Chris. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to see you guys.
What made you start wanting to visit Uganda and how many times have you been there?
I first wanted to go because we started to sponsor a girl about 12 years ago. We found out that the parents of these girls, a lot of children had died because of HIV viruses and therefore they'd never be able to go to school. So by sponsoring them in New Zealand, that enabled them to go to school, get a uniform and have 2 meals a day. So that's how we started with doing sponsorship. Oh, sorry, and then I've now been 10 times. So next week I head off for my 11th trip there.
What do you do in Uganda?
Well, I go and visit my girl, but now she's a woman now, so things have changed, and I've also started to look after some other children, but I now go to schools and do sports programs.
Is there a difference in how people live in Uganda compared to New Zealand?
Yes, it would be what we'd call a third world country, which means it's very, very different to New Zealand. To have access to water, electricity, all those things are very difficult in their countries, and most children each day would go and fetch water. There's also 48 million people versus our 5, and it's smaller than New Zealand. So there are people everywhere all having to make a living.
What are some of the highlights of your trip?
I think the highlights is just helping out to make a difference to people, and when you leave, you feel as though you have made a difference. It's very rewarding.
What's your favourite food to eat in Uganda? Could you tell us about one unusual food item?
Well, they have lovely, lovely food. It's all organic because there's no fertilisers ever put on the soil in the soils. And where I go, they grow peanuts. And so, therefore, we have peanut sauce on everything, and it's beautiful. Matoke is banana. There's 6 types of banana. From a very small one right through to a larger one, and they mash that up very much like mashed potato called matoke, and so on your plate you'll have mashed banana, but it, you know, and looks like a potato, and maybe chicken, things like that, beans, and covered in peanut sauce. Beautiful.
Whereabouts do you go in Uganda?
Well, I go from Dubai down to Entebbe, that's the airport, and that's south of Kampala, and people pick me up from there, and sometimes I go to about 2 hours drive to one school and then stay there, and then after about a week, I get picked up and go 5 hours way up into the middle of Uganda called Soroti. And that's where the letters that you guys are going to write, I take to a school out of Soroti, to a very rural school.
What sports have you introduced to the people in Uganda?
Well, I tried rugby and things like that, but it's very difficult to teach. The grounds are very difficult as well. But mainly the games are very little equipment. They're kind of relay games, tag games, and then the one I really enjoy taking is t-ball, and where they just whack the ball on a rubber and with a tennis ball, and then the bases, I've got to make bases, and I've been using bike tubes as the bases. You try and use everything that's local. And so it just sort of, yeah, sports that don't require a lot of equipment, because when I first went there, I noticed there was really no sports being played at all.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your amazing experiences with us.
We wish you all the best for your next trip.
Okay, thank you.
Next up we have Riptide by Vance Joy. He originally wrote the verses and chords in 2008, but he didn't finish the song until 2012 and released it in 2013.
scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. All my friends are turning green. Yeah, the magician's assistant in their dream. Oh, singing a song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you're gonna sing the words wrong. Is this movie that I think you like? This guy decides to quit his job and head to New York City. This cowboy's running from himself. She's been living on the high shelf. Oh, to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand man. I love you when you sing the song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you're gonna sing the words wrong. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side.
Listening to a LiveWise program on Arrow FM 92.7 coming to you this week from Opaki School. We're also streaming on the Arrow FM website and available as a podcast from the LiveWise program page.
Did you know that a star's colour indicates its temperature?
Blue stars are the hottest, followed by white, yellow, like our sun, orange and red are the coolest.
No, I did not know that. I know nothing about stars.
Good, because Grady and Ari are up next talking about stars.
Hello, fellow humans. I am Grady.
And I'm Aria. Today we'll be talking about space. Or more specifically, star classifications.
What in the multiverse are those?
Well, they're the seven main types of stars.
Like the sun.
Yeah, I guess we could count that.
Well, one of the main types of stars are red giant stars. An interesting fact about red giants is that they are some of the biggest stars. They are 1,000 times the size of the sun.
Another main star is the brown dwarf. An interesting fact about brown dwarfs is that they are among the least hot stars in existence.
Brown dwarfs are hot chocolate stars.
Grady, seriously.
Yeah, no.
Back to the main stars. Red dwarfs. An interesting fact about red dwarfs is that they are very low-mass stars. Another main star is...
white dwarfs. An interesting fact about white dwarfs is that they are typically as big as the sun. White dwarfs are marshmallow stars.
Here's another one of the main stars, neutron stars. An interesting fact about neutron stars is that they are smaller than a city.
Now, the main sequence stars. An interesting fact about main sequence stars is that they make about 90% of the universe's stellar population. And Aria's worst nightmare, black holes. A fact about black holes is that they cannot be seen with the naked eye or with a telescope. They are black because light can't escape from them, and they are classified stars.
The hottest colour of star is blue or blue/white.
Supernovas are like clouds of star corpses.
Oh look, a dead star, buddy.
We hope you learned something today.
Bye, have a grand day.
Adios, amigos.
Most of the stars you see tonight died millions of years ago. You're looking at a ghost light travelling through the dark to reach your eyes.
No, they're alive.
No, they're just ghosts floating.
So am I alive or dead?
Marley, did you know that you're dead?
Ah! We're not talking about dead people. We're talking about Jared Hawkins up next.
Hi, I'm Brock.
Hi, I'm Quinton. Today we'll be interviewing Jared Hawkins from Muttonbury Transport.
Hi, Jared, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
Thanks for coming today.
Okay, Jared, let's get into it. How long has Muttonbury Transport been in business?
Muttonbury Transport started in 1981 with my parents, and then me and my two brothers took over the business in, I think it was 2010. So altogether about 47 years, I think.
Wow, that's crazy.
What is the role at Muttonbury Transport?
So my role is I'm a director and dispatcher in there.
Joe, can you tell us a bit more about dispatching?
So as dispatcher, I get calls from farmers and stock agents, and then they ask us to do a certain job, and then I have to jack up the trucks and make sure everything's done efficiently, the trucks get to the right place to pick up the right stock and take to the right place at the right time.
Are there other family members who work at Muttonbury Transport?
Yep, there is. Yep, I have two brothers. So one of my brothers runs the workshop, and the other brother is sort of does all the admin stuff, pays the bills, and oversees. And we all sort of oversee everything too. So yeah, I have two brothers, and also we have a cousin, maybe two cousins working as drivers for us. So it is a family, bit of a family business.
What made you decide to do this job?
I just, as a kid, I just always wanted to, love trucks and just wanted to drive trucks, mate. Yeah, childhood dream.
What make of trucks does your company own?
We have a bit of a mixed fleet. We run predominantly Scania and Kenworths.
What areas of New Zealand do you guys cover?
On a day-to-day basis, we are sort of anywhere from Waikato to South Canterbury, but certain times of the year, we're just all over New Zealand.
Since the diesel prices went up, has your company had a big impact on your company?
Yes, it has. Yep, it has had a huge impact on us. Hopefully, we can recoup the costs, but it's been a very, very tough few months.
Jared, how many trucks do you and Muttonbury Transport?
Muttonbury Transport, we have, I think there's 40 trucks in Muttonbury Transport, and we also are in partnership with a company in Ashburton that are the same colour, just a different name, Canterbury Transport, and there's 7 down there. So I think there's 47 trucks in total.
Jared, in your opinion, what truck is the best in your company?
Brock, that's a tricky question. It's got to be the 770 Scania, I think, mate.
Thanks for coming today, Jared.
We've learned a lot about you. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Cheers for having me.
Released in 2013, Counting Stars is one of One Republic's biggest hits, blending pop, folk, and gospel, written by the lead singer Ryan Tedder. The track explores conflict between chasing wealth, true happiness, and dreams.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. I ancient signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. Kills me, makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Burn down this river every turn. Hope is our four-letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Oh, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, say no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.
You're listening to a LiveWise program on Arrow FM 92.7, coming to you this week from Aupaki School. We're also streaming from the Arrow FM website and available as a podcast from the LiveWise program page.
Now we have Alexander, Arno and Jasper talking about tracking and trapping.
Take 166, 3, 2, 1, action!
Oh, there's a rat. Somebody help me.
Cut! More enthusiasm!
Oh.
Take 167... 3, 2, 1, action!
Oh, there's a rat! Somebody help me!
It's okay, Anna. Hi, I'm Jasper, and that's why we have a team of students at Aupaki School hunting rats. They'll be here any second. Look, here one of them comes.
Alexander here. I heard there was a rat. Don't worry, I'm the leader of the tracking and trapping team. I'll get rid of the infestation.
Today we're going to share some information about tracking and trapping.
Not many schools have tracking and trapping as a subject.
For tracking and trapping, we go out and check the traps once or twice a fortnight. There are 13 traps around the school.
What? I thought you checked the traps once a day.
No, if we checked them once a day, there's no point because we'll waste our time because we don't catch a rat every day.
Yes, that is true. It is a big waste of time. However, if we have caught something overnight, we remove it the next day before it starts to smell.
Do you record what you catch?
Yes, on TrapNZ.
What's TrapNZ?
TrapNZ is a site where you can add your traps that you've inserted and add catches.
Whoa, that's cool.
Did you know that Aupaki School caught 30 pests last year?
What? That's not a lot for a year.
Yes, and do you know why?
No, please tell me.
The reason it's so low is because we don't record them all on Trap NZ.
Oh, that's why we didn't get a lot of pests.
And because we know that a lot of cats in the area catch 2 or 3 pests a night.
2 or 3 a night? How did we only catch 30 last year?
Because cats can move around and traps are only in one spot. Duh.
Well, I'm glad I'm not a pest at Aupaki School.
That's your opinion.
Cut.
Ooh, rats are disgusting. At least you're getting rid of them.
Oh, Charlotte, they're not that bad.
Yes, they are. But anyways...
Up next is Poppy and Dilly talking about the truth behind policing.
Most people underestimate the real truth behind policing. It needs a lot more skill and mindset than you may think.
My dad works for the Masterton Police Station, and he says it's harder to stay regulated and calm when your mind is darting all over the place. If you are a police officer, you have to be an excellent communicator. The difference between life and death comes down to the words you speak.
They also need to be able to relate and show empathy towards all people's backgrounds and cultures. Integrity, commitment, problem-solving ability and a sense of humour are all needed to be an effective police officer.
Hey Poppy, didn't you say you're talking to a police officer a couple days ago?
Yeah, a police officer pulled me over and said papers. I said scissors. I win and drove off. I think he wanted a rematch because he chased me around the block for 45 minutes.
I don't think he wanted a rematch, sorry.
No, he totally did.
Wait, how'd you get away?
Now that's a story for another show. Hey Tilly, do you know the 7 most popular crimes people get arrested for in New Zealand?
No, do you?
Yeah, it's domestic violence, assault, theft, burglary, and fraud.
What's the difference between theft, robbery, and burglary?
I'll put it very simply. Someone is guilty of robbery if they steal from a person using force or make them think force will be used. Theft means taking someone's property but does not involve the use of force. Burglary means illegally entering a property in order to steal property from it.
Ah, yes, that was pretty easy to understand.
Tilly, I think your dad's here.
Oh, okay. Be cool and no cringe police jokes. You know what happened last time with the donuts.
Today we're going to be talking to Sergeant Nick Bunny from Masterton Police Station. Hi Nick, how has your day been?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
What do people call you at the police station?
Normally just my name, Nick, or they use the rank, so Sergeant.
Okay, Sergeant Bunny, what is your perspective on policing? Some people think you just drive around arresting people.
So I've been in the police for nearly 21 years, and policing is a lot more than we are an enforcement agency, but obviously there's a lot more social aspects to policing there, and we have to be open to everything and anything that any one day may throw at us. We have no script, we have no set day, we have set rules, obviously, but we also try and work with people's best interests, whether or not they're a victim or an offender or a witness or staff or anything. So, yeah, there's no real set rules around things anymore.
Yeah. What is the hardest thing about your job?
Hardest thing about our job, I think, personally for me, it is having to tell family members when something's happened to a member of their family. That's probably the hardest thing we have to do. And to give that a bit of context, when people are hurt or people die or are killed in accidents and things, the police are always the first person to notify the immediate family, and everybody takes bad news differently. So there's no way of predetermining how that person will react to that news.
When did you join the police force?
I joined on the 1st of May 2006.
If you could tell people one thing about the New Zealand police that they probably won't know, what would it be?
That we are also people as well. Than that we also have the same stress that they are dealing with. We also have families. We also have kids. We also have the same problems, but we are just in a position where we have to help those people with their problems as well as dealing with our problems. So we are still human. So,
hey, Nick, what did the policeman say to the snowman?
I don't know.
Freeze.
It's a goodie.
Thank you for your time.
And thank you for listening to our radio interview.
Sunroof is a 2021 sunshine pop hit by Nikki Ewer and Desi. Written in just 45 minutes while Nikki was sick in bed, the song exploded into a global favourite in 2022, eventually getting 1 billion streams on Spotify.
You're listening to a LiveWise program on Arrow FM 92.7, coming to you this week from Aupaki School. We're also streaming from the Arrow FM website and available as a podcast from the LiveWise program page.
Now up next is Otto, Nathan and Ben talking about an event that we go to every Friday called Design Tech.
Nathan, turn off the drill!
Okay, fine. And I'm Nathan.
Hi, and I'm Ben.
And I'm Otto.
We'll be discussing what we do at Design Tech.
You may be asking, what is Design Tech?
Aupaki School Year 7 and Year 8 students go to Makata College Design until.
We go there 5 days a term and do 4 things.
We rotate around in each of the subjects in groups of 12. We do hard materials, working with metal and wood.
Sewing.
Cooking.
Laser cutting. Did you know that there's roughly 30% of young adults in New Zealand that do not know how to use a drill?
Survey also discovers that 95% of women in NZ carry out their own DIY projects.
That is unbelievable. I thought only men did DIY.
Ben, you do realise it's 2026, don't you?
Ben, you do know that both men and women cook these days, don't you?
Crazy.
Now, before we... Nathan, what are you doing?
I'm carving a picture of a giant lizard.
Nathan, not now. We're saving that for later.
Sorry.
I personally think that learning DIY or going to places like Design Tech are essential.
Why? I think it just takes too long to learn.
But if you learn these skills, then you will know how to use a drill and make a fence or know how to change your tyres on your car.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
Plus, 63,490 jobs you have a machinery experience.
I wanted to take over my dad's jobs doing water tanking and bricklaying.
Well, this is where we say our farewells.
I finished my lizard carving.
Show us it then.
Yeah, come on, Nathan.
Okay, here it is.
Oh, wow.
Wow, so interesting.
I know, right?
And now Jacob, Pretty and Braxton, let's go.
Welcome to the Aupaki FIFA World Cup news. My name is Jacob.
I'm Braxton.
And I'm Freddie. 23 days into the World Cup. How are we feeling?
Great, Freddie. I have a strong feeling Portugal will win, but it's cool that this is the first time New Zealand has been in the World Cup for 16 years. I hope that we have a good run, not just eliminated in the first round.
Jacob, there's no way Portugal will win. It's definitely going to be England. Football's coming home.
No, they won't. Portugal has the GOAT Ronaldo. It's sad that this will be his last World Cup, though. The end of the greatest era.
Even though he wasn't my favourite, I still won't call him trash. Still, I'm way better.
Yeah, sure, bud. You're not that guy.
Guys, stop arguing. There's no point. They haven't even played their first game. So let's have a look at the pool New Zealand's in.
New Zealand first plays Iran on the 16th of June at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
8 days later, New Zealand will play Egypt on June 22nd at BC Place in Vancouver.
Then Belgium on the 27th of June at BC Place in Vancouver.
Let's look at some of the New Zealanders' team players. Alex Poulsen is one of NZ's best goalkeepers. He towers over most of his team with a height of 1.83 centimetres and a trade value of 1.7 million NZ dollars. He made his debut for A-League team Wellington Phoenix on December 19th, 2021 as a sub against Sydney FC. In that game, Alex was just 18. Right now, Alex is on loan to a Polish team but is coming home for the World Cup. He'll be a key part of keeping us in the game past the group stage. Hopefully, the manager just plays him.
Alex Roper is New Zealand's best midfielder. Currently, he plays for the Wellington Phoenix and made his debut on February 9th, 2014 against the Newcastle Jets and won 3-2. At the time, he was only 17 years old. It's been over 8 years since that day, and in that period of time, he has made over 150 appearances and more than 10,000 minutes on the pitch. Despite injuries, including a broken ankle and ACL injury in 2022, Alex Rufa has returned to lead the midfield for the Phoenix, becoming one of their most capped players in his club history. He is also the longest-serving player in the current squad, and has confirmed that he will be competing in this year's Football World Cup.
Chris Wood is one of New Zealand's players in the World Cup this year. His main position is striker and he has scored 92 goals and made 275 appearances. He currently plays for Nottingham Forest in the Premier League.
Dang, that's crazy. Well, I can't wait for the World Cup.
Same.
Same here. Let's go New Zealand.
Wait, what's soccer?
It's football!
Ugh, I'm tired. It's almost 12 o'clock at night.
Oh no, guys, I gotta go meet some ghosts in the park.
It's the morning.
Thanks for listening from Aupaki School. Bye.